That sounds a lot like woman beater vibes right there. If you want my secrets, you'll eat my sandwich. It's knuckle sandwich, probably. And there goes the domestic abuse joke. Oh, man, we're about to get canceled for that one. Welcome back to the Bromar Show. This is the show where we talk about things that are trending in internet culture and also living life as a guy in his 20s. I am your host, and go ahead and make sure you follow the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. Also, don't forget, the Bromar Show is officially on the iHeartMedia app. So go ahead, download the iHeartMedia app, subscribe and follow the Bromar Show, and you can listen to it wherever you go now. And don't forget to follow the Bromar Show on social media. You can follow on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at the Bromar Show. And with all the news and the traction that Andrew Tate has gotten, I've got to analyze and explore the psyche and the mentality of not only his followers, but the followers or the fan base within the space that Andrew Tate is associated with. And specifically, this interesting obsession they have with certain women when it comes to dating and relationships. We'll talk about that here in just a couple moments. But first, I think we can talk about this too, because I do mention it in this episode. And that is the topic of AI art specifically. Now, the reason why I haven't been posting a lot of art, and to be honest, is because it's just been trash recently. I think I need to take a little break so I can, you know, pick it back up and make it better. But here's the thing with AI art. And I really am trying to understand, like, what is actually going on here? Like, why are people upset about AI art? Because if you think about it, being an artist, not going to lie to you, you're going to have to steal some ideas here and there. Sometimes, all right? If you need to come up with something original. And the more ideas you steal, the better, because then you can mask, like, how unoriginal the character can be sometimes. And AI art is essentially the same thing. It's just looking through photo references on the internet. That's why you see the whole entire node AI arts on Instagram, all those posts. So that way their stuff doesn't get stolen, or their post doesn't get stolen by the algorithm. But the thing of it is that it's technically a reference, I would say. But I guess the issue comes with crediting the authors. Sorry, damn it. The artists. I just been on one today. That's the issue, is that there really isn't that much of a way to credit artists. And what's really funny is, I think this is the closest thing they can use to crediting an artist. And that is that when you write on the AI writing prompt, if you want a certain style from an artist, like, it will do it for you. And to be honest, I actually did try AI art. Writing prompts are not my thing. I hate them. I really hate that, because when you have this idea on your head, to really pinpoint and translate that, it's really difficult. But if for some reason you're running out of ideas, you need to develop something, it actually does come in handy for concepts. But when it comes to, well, you have this character in mind, you have exactly, like, this is on your mind and you're trying to translate it on digital, I mean, you're still going to have to use your hands either way. Like, you're still going to have to use your brain to get the exact piece you want. With AI, on the other hand, it's going to take some trouble just coming up with a prompt. And let's just say you get to the closest thing to what you can get. You're still going to have to use some fundamentals. You're going to have to edit the piece, kind of move things around here and there, paint over some things, etc., because there's some AI programs that get the proportions wrong. There's also some AI programs that get the hands wrong. And so that's when you as an artist comes in to fix the proportions. And the thing about AIs is, I mean, I really don't know if they know what a human looks like. But then that's when you come in and you make it as realistic or as talented as possible. But AI art, I think, is a tool. I think you can use this as a tool. And I know some people get upset about it And look, I might change my mind later, because right now I'm just going into it in the very uneducated artist point. For me, I like to make my art look good. Not just like, okay, this is exactly what I want, but also make sure that the art is good. And maybe I need to dabble a little bit more with AI art. And I'm going to be real with you. There's actually a couple posts there that actually were done with AI art. I think the one where you see the chick with a bunch of cigarettes on the floor just laying down, that one I used AI art to make it more like a painting. And then what I did was I transferred it over to Procreate, and then I messed around with the proportions. I think I made her eyes bigger, her lips bigger, and then tried to make her face a little more feminine. And then I painted over some details, made it look like an actual brush was used, you know? That actually what adds the pizzazz to it, is when they see the brush strokes there. So yeah, AI art, I think you can use it as a tool, and I'm definitely using it as a tool too. And in fact, I think if you notice, some of my art actually did improve. The one I did digitally exclusively on Procreate, the last two, and you can even see the tutorials. Like back then, I could not do any of that. Like it would take me forever to get that done. But those last two, I actually was impressed on how it ended up being. So, and it's all thanks to the teaching lessons from AI art, basically. With the traction that Andrew Tate has gotten, it is safe to say that damn near everybody knows who he is. I mean, you can just go on social media, you'll see a clip of him. And along with that, the ideas that have been associated with Andrew Tate. By that, let me clarify, he's been associated as part of the Manosphere. So by then, I mean, it's kind of impossible to avoid talking about the topic of the Manosphere, because I mean, Andrew Tate doesn't really claim that he's part of the Manosphere, but the media likes to, you know, place him there just because the ideas that the Manosphere and he typically shares. And the reason why I'm talking about the Manosphere right now, it is because there's this clip here from Pop Culture Detective. The title of this video is called Born Sexy Yesterday, and it basically just talks about and goes into detail about this trope. Now, this trope that is talked about in the movies, or seen in movies, the thing is something that I would say Andrew Tate and the Manosphere have in common. That is that they look for young, pretty women, inexperienced, and is one thing if it's a preference, but it's another thing if it's an obsession. And this video kind of explains the psychology, mostly within the Manosphere. I guess also the followers of Andrew Tate, you can include them in there too. But majority of them tend to have this obsession with dating young, pretty, inexperienced women. And this video is going to explain this a little bit clearly. So let's go ahead and get on with it right now.
Tron Legacy, Disney's neon-infused sequel to the 1982 classic, includes a particularly egregious example of a trope that has bothered me for years.
Ancora!
It's a gendered convention that will be instantly familiar to science fiction fans.
Mm-hmm.
The convention shows up over and over again in speculative media, but it didn't have a name. So I gave it one. I call it Born Sexy Yesterday.
Nice, nice. I fucks with it.
She's an ISO.
The character of Cora is an isomorphic algorithm, or ISO. Basically, she's a sentient computer program in the shape of a woman.
She's the miracle, man.
So, funny thing that they started off with this part here, that she's an ISO, because I don't know if you've heard the news or seen articles about this topic, but there's that topic of sex robots that eventually they could be coming out. And I don't think we're far off from that. And what's really interesting about this clip too is I'm surprised they didn't show a clip from Blade Runner 2049, because that was actually a really good one to showcase here. And with the rise of AI, there's a lot of AI tools like AI art, AI writing prompts. And heck, there's even an app called Replica, which basically is your portable AI companion chick or guy that you can have on your phone, and you can basically have a full-on conversation. Like, we are definitely not far off from creating these type of artificial beings. And a lot of these movies, they're warning you, or at least giving you a heads up that it's coming.
As the last of the ISOs, Korra is described this way.
Profoundly naive. Unimaginably wise.
So, to actually translate that or put it into more simple terms, it's basically having the experience of a hoe with the body count of a virgin, is what it essentially translates to.
If that sounds vaguely like something someone might say about a child, it's no accident. Because that's exactly how Tron Legacy portrays Korra.
I know I made a video about talking about Mia Khalifa, about how she's so mad that the guys that she wants are dating younger women, etc., yada, yada, yada. Well, Mia Khalifa, I really can't say that she's a nice gal, but at the same time, I think she might have a bit of an attitude problem. I think that's the case. But then, at the same time, I do understand some women's frustration when it comes to men having this crazy obsession over young women, dating younger women specifically. Like, one thing is different if it's a preference, but once it becomes an obsession, it's like, you know, it's a little weird. But like I said, you're gonna see later on throughout the episode that I start to sympathize a little bit with women that have complained about men obsessing over younger women. I actually understand now. It is a little weird and predatory, not gonna lie. So I'm starting to understand now.
Between you and me, Jules Verne is my favorite. Do you know Jules Verne?
Sure.
What's he like?
She has the mind of a naive, yet highly skilled child, but in the body of a mature, sexualized woman. She also serves as our hero's love interest. Profoundly naive, yet unimaginably wise, captures the essence of this trope.
All right, okay. I see what you mean.
Born yesterday is an idiom meaning extremely naive, inexperienced, or ignorant.
He thinks I'm too stupid, huh?
No.
He's right, I'm stupid and I like it.
You do?
Sure, I'm happy. I get everything I want. Two main coats, everything.
That's actually really funny that they showed that clip, because this is why you see a lot of sugar babies running around, and this is why they're killing it sometimes, because all they gotta do is pretend that they're stupid. And especially when the man is a lot older, and a lot of things to keep in mind here too. And this is why sometimes some older guys do get finessed, and that is because some of them are not aware that they're in a different timeline now. You see, back then, women used to stay in the house, cook, clean, all that mess. They were dependent on the man. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But then at the same time, I understand if the wrong guy takes advantage of this, you know, problems do happen. But today, women can make their own money. They can provide for themselves. So it's just not the same landscape anymore. The whole entire you trying to be a provider and be a traditional man is just, I wouldn't say it's useless, but you really, it's pretty much now more of an option, I guess. Like, if you want to do this for yourself, you can now do it. And I think today's dating landscape, like, it's definitely different. And I may go more into detail about it here, but let's keep going on with this video.
As a media trope, Born Sexy Yesterday has both a figurative and, in many cases, a literal meaning.
Mm-hmm. The hell?
The 1997 sci-fi cult classic, The Fifth Element, is probably the most quintessential example of Born Sexy
Yesterday.
Oh,
them titties popping out.
Told you.
Perfect. Like Korra, Lilu is whimsical and naive. But she's also deliberately framed in a sexualized way.
They really make her
perfect. I know.
The female characters that this trope is built around are defined by their innocence of...
Okay, so the lady here in Splash, definitely my type. But the way they portray her here, it's, I don't know.
And inexperience with worldly things.
Pretty!
Especially when it comes to sex, romance, or basic social interaction.
Here's the, this is the softcore version of your typical stepmom adult scene. It's called My Stepmother's an Alien. That's kind of funny, though. My stepmother's an alien. I'm pretty sure there's a Rule 34 video of this floating around, for sure.
Would you mind if I kissed you?
Does it hurt?
Through the use of science fiction conventions, they're brought into the human world already fully formed. The mind of a child manifest in a mature female body. She may be an android, a computer program, a mermaid, an alien, a magical being, or otherwise raised in an environment isolated from the rest of human society.
All right, cool.
Many of these female characters have one very specific thing in common. They're all deliberately written to be completely unaware of their own sex appeal.
Ooh, that's actually interesting. Because, and I may actually keep reaching this again. The reality of it is that your gal's gonna have guys shooting their shot at her pretty frequently. Some people can get insecure about that, but like I said, there's healthy ways to do it, and then there's unhealthy ways to do it.
This then provides filmmakers with an excuse to include at least one scene in which she disrobes in front of men, and because she's so naive, she doesn't understand the implications of this action.
Morning! Come on in!
Didn't bring my bathing suit.
What's a bathing suit?
Ta.
Oh, murder.
As you might imagine, there's quite a bit of overlap here.
Good morning, Robert.
With the manic pixie dream girl trope.
This is a magical room. Where does the water come from?
The water comes from the pipes.
Where do the pipes get it?
Although characters who are born sexy yesterday are often highly skilled at something that men will respect. Frequently, that thing is combat.
That's kind of interesting.
Now, so far, we've only focused on the female characters associated with this trope. But it isn't really about them.
Yeah, that door always spins.
Like most things in Hollywood, Born Sexy Yesterday is written for men.
And that's really interesting that he mentioned that, because I know Hollywood gets a lot of flack for just being woke and only selling movies to women. But the thing about this is that they also sold the guys, but this is actually what they sold, is this type of fantasy, this type of dynamic. And you're going to understand why a lot of guys think this way.
And ultimately, it's a relationship trope.
5'9", blue eyes, long legs, great skin. You know, perfect.
Actually, now that I noticed that, that's actually a lot of women like that today. There's just a lot of women that are, you know, 5'9", long legs, and great skin. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, they're perfect, duh, but the amount of perfect gals running around is insane. So it's like, I mean, just take your pick, I guess. But at the end of the day, you do have to keep in mind whether this gal actually likes you or not. So
that means we need to talk about the other side of the equation, the male heroes. Typically, he's a straight, red-blooded man who has, for a variety of reasons, found himself alone or unsatisfied in love.
Mm-hmm.
He finds himself disenfranchised or otherwise directionless.
That's another thing I want to comment on with guys that follow into not just Andrew Tate, but also the manosphere. A lot of them really are directionless. And so far, the best kind of option for them is to look into Andrew Tate, and especially when they're having issues in their dating life or relationships. I mean, they're willing to try anything to like improve it, make it better, or get something out of it. Even if it means, you know, following a character, not necessarily the person, but a character, because I think that's what Andrew Tate's doing. He's just selling this character. Guys are willing to follow this character to see if they can get any answers. So, or solutions when it comes to their dating lives, because they are directionless in general and they're trying to figure it out.
He either can't find or doesn't want a woman from his own world, a woman who might be his equal in matters of love and sexuality.
This actually reminds me of women when they say they're looking for their equal when it comes to dating. And typically, they refer to it as equal in income, as in he's making as much money, if not a little bit more than she is. When guys are looking for their equal, in this case, they would prefer a woman that is equal, if not has less sexual experience than he does. Kind of interesting how that works.
He does have one thing going for him, though. He knows all about living life as a normal human being.
It's too bad you don't eat food.
So, this is really interesting because, how do I actually put this together? Because I've heard of this before. I think I might as well mention this, but this is way back in before the Bromar Show was the Bromar Show. I did a skit about the 80-20 rule in dating. And basically, I talked about how OkCupid released their statistics in regards to how women find 80% of the men in that site unattractive. And most of those men are, you know, average guys, your normal life guys. Like, they're just your average Joes. And yeah, majority of those women in that site found them unattractive. I have to dig that clip up, but there's actually plenty of clips from the Bromar files that I could insert here that'll tie this in very well, but yeah.
You might find it could be quite pleasurable.
What, you get pleasure out of food?
Here.
No, thank you.
If you want my secrets, you'll eat my sandwich.
That sounds a lot like woman beater vibes right there. If you want my secrets, you'll eat my sandwich. It's knuckle sandwich, probably. And there goes the domestic abuse joke. Oh, man, we're about to get canceled for that one. It's really interesting. You'll eat my sandwich. Well, what kind of sandwich are we talking about, guy?
Of course, so does every other guy on Earth, which should make him unremarkable.
Chew! Chew!
Oh, what the?
Except to a woman born yesterday. Because she's presumably never known another man, he would seem like the smartest, most amazing guy in the entire universe.
So, how do I really translate this? So you know how women, they automatically just get all kinds of attentions, DMs, gifts, and all that mess because they're women? Well, a lot of guys want to get attention from women by just being a guy, you know? For basically not doing anything. And it just really doesn't operate that way most of the time, you know?
This is fun.
Ew. How could you find eating a sandwich fun? Jesus. I'm also going to comment on the script writing on a lot of these movies because it is horrible. It sucks.
What is it? Oh.
Ham and cheese on rye with mayo.
Ew. That's so fucking basic. See, this actually explains just how, and I know on the Bromar Show, we've bashed and made fun of some women here for entertainment purposes, but I think it's time to actually make it about equality here. Let's make fun about some of these guys here, all right? Some of these movies really portray how mediocre guys are, but mediocre in a sense of like this guy right here, ham and cheese on rye with mayo. Like, what kind of fucking dish is that? I mean, I had to cook some burger patties. I got to find some more ingredients like strawberry jam and peanut butter. I know it's kind of weird. It was actually some pothead restaurant that suggested that. But it's like just very basic, bland personalities. At least I know your boy here has some personality, all right? You look at Steven over here on this movie. The guy is so bland. Even his sandwich is bland. Like, look at that. And you're going to notice on later on, a lot of these guys are pretty bland. And they expect to have women around them for being bland. And the reality is, it just doesn't work that way.
And here's where we start to see how the trope is constructed as a male fantasy. It's precisely her naivety and her innocence that allows her to see something special in him. Something that other less innocent or more experienced women cannot.
Systems normal. Estimated resuscitation time 600 seconds. Commencing countdown.
I never heard of these anime.
Now, we don't have time to go into it here, but Born Sexy Yesterday is absolutely everywhere in Japanese anime.
That is facts.
Now, I should note that Born Sexy Yesterday is not a modern trope.
Good thing that he mentioned that, because you're going to see why majority of guys, at least within that space, are also obsessed with like the 50s. I mean, personally, me, the 50s, I wouldn't want to go back there because obviously I'm not white, I'm brown. It's not going to go well in for me, for sure. But good thing that he mentioned that this is not a modern trope, because this trope has been around for ages, even before the 50s. I would say as early as the 20s, that trope has been around. So not only are you going to understand the obsession with young, inexperienced women, but also the obsession with the good old days, the 50s and the 30s or the 60s, just the back in the good old days era.
In fact, it's been a fixture of classic Hollywood science fiction films since the beginning of the genre.
This was intriguing. I wonder just how far women would permit this to go.
It's nothing really personal, just a kiss.
But why should people want to kiss each other?
It's an old custom. All of the really high civilizations go in for it.
But it's so silly.
But it's good for you, though. It stimulates the whole system. Mm. As a matter of fact, you can't be in tip-top health without it.
Really? I didn't know that.
I'd be only too happy to show you.
What the fuck?
Thank you very much, Lieutenant.
No trouble at all.
Yeah, that was horrible script writing. And not only that, sometimes it shows you how cringy and corny some guys are. And this is an example. This dude try to sneak in a kiss and talked his way into it just so effing blandly and horribly. And you have this gal that absolutely has no idea what's going on or why people do this. Like, you know? So now I'm actually beginning to see why some women get pressed about guys obsessing over younger women. I finally get it now. I mean, it's one thing if it's a preference, but once it becomes an obsession, you're right. That guy has to see someone, like a professional for sure.
Forbidden Planet in 1956 is one example. The Time Machine in 1960 is another.
I've never seen The Time Machine, actually.
Well, what's your name?
Weena.
Weena. How do you spell it?
Spell?
Spell right. Can't you write?
Then this is
the
cringe to watch.
Nova from the original Planet of the Apes.
Now, I will say this. The original Planet of the Apes, that was legitimately a good movie. I actually enjoyed watching that movie. Because, well, obviously, yeah, this trope was present. There was times where it didn't focus too much on the trope, you know? Which I think is good. That's decent. Planet of the Apes is actually a good movie. The 1968 version.
Look at that. I touch it and smile.
Who is the protagonist's love interest, despite not understanding the concept of language. The trope usually involves white women, but Born Sexy Yesterday is an offshoot of a much older media convention. One in which white adventurers discover indigenous women.
Y'all forgot about Pocahontas. Why didn't they put Pocahontas in this one?
Although in this case, science fiction replaces colonialism as the mechanism driving that narrative.
You bet.
Big. Bada big boom. Big. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah, big bada boom.
Bada boom.
Big. Boom. Big bada boom.
Still, sometimes it's a little of both. Born Sexy Yesterday fetishizes the stark power imbalance between a wiser, more experienced man and a naive, inexperienced woman. It's the ultimate teacher-student dynamic.
And now that I think about it, majority of my partners, they were actually pretty experienced. They were more experienced than I was. And I definitely didn't necessarily have too much of a problem with it. But then again, it's mostly because I was just there experimenting, you know. I mean, I knew about the birds and the bees, but hands-on practice, I needed to learn more, basically. Oh, man. All right, let's keep going.
It's the custom of my people to help one another when we're in trouble.
Star Trek is famous for making frequent use of this trope.
Oh, cringe. I don't like this.
Perhaps infamous is a better word, because the trope shows up in the original series and then in every other series afterwards.
And this, is this also helping?
You could call it that.
Oh, cringe. Ugh, ugh. Story writers, script writers have absolutely no game. And I may be just jumping to a big conclusion about this, but whoever wrote this script, specifically in this scene, I'm willing to bet that guy or that writer had absolutely no game, because that was a very lame response. And it was just a very lame line to start tongue punching her throat box, you know?
Please help me once again.
Gosh, fucking screenwriters.
Let's something different with your hair. Seven of Nine's relationship with the Doctor on Star Trek Voyager is a prominent example, especially as depicted in the episode Someone to Watch Over.
Try shaking your head a little bit.
Is this more appropriate?
Fans of that series will remember that the Doctor's own social naivety is never framed by the show as something sexy.
Well, that was actually cool.
I think you'd look very nice in this one.
I am uncertain how to wear such a garment. Assist me.
Oh, I'm sure you'll manage.
Yeah.
I'll go prepare the holodeck. Remember, the idea is to have fun tonight. I'll expect a full report in the morning.
Although Born Sexy Yesterday was a major part of Seven's character, at least to begin with, she is ultimately made much more than that.
So right here is going to go into how they actually did it right, in which I would agree, this actually was done right.
And outside of a handful of rather cringeworthy episodes,
mm-hmm.
Seven's story is largely one of self-realization and self-discovery, which manages to transcend the constraints of the trope. To a large degree, this is also true of a character like Somni 451 from Cloud Atlas. Like Seven, her romantic relationship is downplayed, while her character development is made central.
Knowledge is a mirror, and for the first time in my life, I was allowed to see who I was and who I might become.
Which brings me to this point. The problem with this trope is not necessarily with the female characters themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If these were simply stories involving naive, extraterrestrial women who learned about love and humanity, then that wouldn't be an issue. Likewise, if the male hero was also inexperienced and our two protagonists could discover love and sex together, then that would avoid most of the troubling power dynamic issues.
All right, that's facts.
What's going on?
You need to understand how it works.
What?
This chip. This body.
So, for example, Cameron from the Sarah Connor Chronicles TV show fits the trope.
All right.
But her relationship with the young John Connor is framed as much more of a mutual exploration. Since Born Sexy
right.
Yesterday,
this is a non-suitable fork parts right here.
Dynamic, it's almost never portrayed the other way around. It's extremely rare for a more experienced female character to teach a naive man about sex.
I think I better go home now, Mary Sue.
Why?
I think I might be ill.
Oh my gosh. All right. So I'm going to paste the link to this clip in the description. Once you get to the 1319 part, I'm telling you, the guy in this scene looks exactly like Jordan Peterson. if not a younger version of him. And minus the Kermit the Frog voice here, but it's really funny that this guy looks like him.
Something's happening to me.
That's supposed to happen.
It is?
Yeah, trust me.
The thirsty hoe. My favorite.
That's your dessert. Eat that with a fork.
Perhaps that's because most grown women don't find the idea of dating an inexperienced adolescent boy all that appealing.
That is true.
But
if she like 50 or 60, oh, trust me, she trying to get that young meat, that fresh meat out the locker room. That's what I noticed, at least. I remember one of my buddies told me a story about how he was serving this lady. And she said some off the wall shit. And she was like, oh my gosh. It was like a very like old woman. She was probably in like her mid 60s. And she was like, oh my gosh, do I see your meat doing jumping jacks in your pants? It was the most off the wall shit she ever said. And I was just cracking up. Oh man, let's continue.
Eat that last. Sandwich first, dessert last.
On the rare occasion when the genders are reversed, male ineptitude then becomes the butt of the joke.
Hi, this is the woman from the baseball card store, remember me?
Oh, yes! Hi! Hello, hot diggity dog! Thanks for calling me on the telephone.
What the hell? So another thing to actually comment on is, I don't know if Forrest Gump would be considered here, along with the tropes that are being reversed here. Especially with him being naive about Jenny. You remember good old Jenny? I don't know if they would consider that. I'm not sure why.
She may even end up falling for him. But she falls for him despite his inexperience, not because of it.
Interesting.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I forgot about the auto wash.
Born Sexy Yesterday is about an unbalanced relationship, but it's also very much connected to masculinity.
Because it's pretty fragile.
The subtext of the trope is rooted in a deep-seated male insecurity around sex and sexuality.
Oh, okay. Like I said before, you know, not gonna lie, some guys do have a bit insecurity when it comes to previous partners from the gal they're seeing or dating. And there's healthy ways to do it, there's unhealthy ways to do it. But that's why you see a whole lot of like, oh yeah, I prefer, or in this case, they're obsessed with young, inexperienced women that never had a man. Or some of these guys even go out to Asia. You've seen, you remember, what's that one guy's name from 90 Day Fiancé? The really short, chubby guy that was trying to bring in the one gal from Thailand. And it just became a meme. It became a joke. I have to look back into it. But that's why that guy went overseas for that. Because looked at him. He was fat, short, didn't take care of himself, pretty entitled, and decided to go overseas because he just knows he can go ahead and bag someone with less experience and doesn't have American experience, you know? So you see where this is going, right? You see what I'm trying to describe here.
The crux of the trope is a fixation on male superiority, a fixation with holding power over an innocent girl. But in order to make that socially acceptable, science fiction is employed to put the mind of that girl into a sexualized adult woman's body. It's a fantasy based on fear. Fear of women who are men's equal in sexual experience and romantic history, and fear of losing the intellectual upper hand to women.
I don't know if you remember what Patrice O'Neill said, but he said, the person that loves the least or that cares the least is the one that has the upper hand. So what I'm trying to say here is if you try your damn best and not give a shit about the body count, not give a shit about it, the previous partners she had, you're more than likely going to have an upper hand. And you'll definitely keep the upper hand. And if that doesn't work, then find somebody else. But that's actually something some guys should look into.
In Woody Allen's 1973 comedy Sleeper, the protagonist is frozen, and when he wakes up in the future, he's suddenly, and very conveniently, the only man left on Earth who still remembers how to have sex.
Huh? That's weird.
That same exact thing happens to Stallone's character in Demolition Man.
Oh my. Are all fluid transfer activities like this?
Ew.
Better? Why?
So Born Sexy Yesterday is a science fiction trope that's designed specifically so male heroes get to automatically be the most extraordinary man in a woman's life.
And like I said earlier, what did I say? Some guys that are pretty mediocre expect to have a great woman or an amazing woman or just a woman in general. And they expect her to be perfect and to have little to no experience. Like, we've always hear about the ridiculous standards that women put on men about how he has to be tall, make a lot of money, be strong, fit, charismatic, right? Now let's flip it on the other side, because, you know, we've always make fun about women on the show for some reason. Now is our turn to make fun about the men also. Equality, right? So with men here in this situation, they expect a woman to be young, pretty, naive, and at the same time, experienced both intellectually and sexually without the body count, or basically a body count of a virgin. Those are the standards they put on women, at least those guys in that space. They want her young, fit, naive, really good in bed, but at the same time, the body count of a virgin.
Again, because they're basically the only man to have ever been in her life.
Okay. So to add more to that, a lot of the average guys or guys that are mediocre do not want to deal with other men hitting up their gal or their woman. And the truth of the matter is that there's going to be other guys shooting their shot at their girl. And honestly, this is kind of like a test to see how much your girl really likes you. Because despite all the DMs that she's getting, all the attention that she's getting, and while you may be, I don't know, playing video games or you're at work and you're not giving her attention, and she goes seeks it from the DMs she's got on her Instagram, and then even the Instagram, it's like, ugh, I don't like the attention from these guys. I want my man's attention. And so she goes back to bothering you while you're at work, and I know sometimes it gets annoying. Perhaps that could be a way that she is showing how much she really cares about you, how much she really likes you. And sometimes the guys in that space, they get a little bit jaded about women, in which I understand, yeah, there is some vile women out there, but then if you find, you know, decent women that actually cares about her man, then how are you going to react to that, you know? A lot of guys sometimes get focused into how to react to these type of women, but when they get an amazing woman, all of a sudden, they don't know what to do.
As such, the trope rests on some troubling patriarchal ideas about female purity and virginity. By definition, characters born sexy yesterday have no past lovers and no previous sexual experiences.
Like I said earlier, further prove the point that I was making. They want a young, pretty woman who has the experience, the sexual experience of a hoe, but have the body count of a virgin. That is what it comes down to. And to basically just not have to worry about the previous partners. And I get it, you know, you might get a bit of insecurity in regards to that, which I think, to be honest, the best way to get rid of that is to actually explore yourself a little bit sexually. Well, if you're not into the whole entire hookup scene, I understand, but I think one or two casual sex encounters shouldn't hurt, as long as you wear protection, obviously. And I think it kind of kills that a little bit, but let's continue.
She is framed as pure and innocent.
Ooh, titties popping out.
And romantically,
but it's blurred out
and uncorrupted by the attention of other men. The male hero, therefore, avoids even the possibility of being compared, of being judged, of not measuring up.
So, this is another thing to keep in mind, too, because you always wonder how some gals go for deadbeats and baby daddies and trappers, gangbangers, just absolute bottom tier, lowest of the low. Maybe they have tattoos. Heck, even these guys aren't the best looking either, and some women still go for these guys. And I would say a lot of it has to do with the fact that they don't care. They don't care if they're not measuring up or not. And I guess that's when Patrice's O'Neal quote, "The one who cares the least or the one who loves the least is the one who has the upper hand." And this is how these scammers are winning with the chicks or the drug dealers or the guys in jail, the ex-convicts, the felons. It's because these guys don't care. And how do they not care from what they've done? Being a drug dealer, I mean, hey, it's a dangerous gig. And being in prison also is a pretty dangerous gig. It will definitely change you, for sure. Makes you look at things very differently, almost to the point that you really don't care. So, like, I think what I'm trying to say is some guys really care way too much about being compared to other partners. And maybe this is because I have no intentions of being married, perhaps. But body count for me, it's not really that important. Like, if a gal has a high or low body count. Because at the end of the day, like, I mean, if she decides to stay, that's fine. But I'm only going to change the things I want to change. And if she wants me to change something, and if it's something that I actually would like to do, or something that I actually would like to work on changing, that's fine. But if it's something that I do not like to change, then, you know, she can find somebody else. And I could find somebody else. It's also why they also go for the deadbeats, is because they try to change them, but these guys don't change. They don't want to change.
At the end of the day, this is a male fantasy about escaping the humiliation of rejection.
All right. So story time from your boy Bromar here, because your boy has actually faced it a couple times before. And it doesn't really bother me as much, but back then it did a little bit. So this was back in college. I remember I went to a Halloween party. And, you know, this guy was looking for somebody to dance with. And then, you know, I offered. And then she said, "Ew, no, not you." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Damn, jeez." Well, from there, I just actually wanted to grab a fork and stick it in the electric socket. And then the other one, which was pretty recent, actually. I remember I went out to a bar. And it was just me just commenting and having a conversation about how I understand, I get it, so we're trying to get out of here. I work in the restaurant industry, you know, so you want us out of this place, out of this bar. And she was like, "I'm not talking to you." And I was like, "Oh, well, I know, I was just kind of expressing, like, we get it, you want us out." And she said, "No, I'm still not talking to you." And I was just like, "Oh, geez, okay, guess I'll go kill myself." So that was my comment, my reaction to that. And so then she seemed pressed about it. And she tried to make a big deal about how I shouldn't be joking about stuff like that. But then I said, "Since you didn't want to talk to me, I really should not care about your feelings now. So your feelings don't matter to me since you don't want to talk to me." And then from there, we got kicked out. I got kicked out. But I mean, hey, rejection can be difficult sometimes. But now looking back at it, it's like, I mean, as long as I kind of play with the rejection part, I think I should be good. Maybe I could take it in pretty well. I should do this a little more frequently now that I think about it. Cause, I mean, it was funny because I was just like just trying to talk and this girl didn't want to talk. So then it's like, okay, so I guess this is where rejection feels like. Oh, well, I mean, really feels weird, but like not that effing weird. But yeah, I don't know.
He's the first and only man in this woman's life. He gets to be the best by default.
I.e. the guy from 90 Day Fiancé that traveled over to Thailand. He wanted to be the best guy by default. But little did he know, she just wanted the green card. She wanted the money. I mean, it's a slobby looking dude. You think she really wants that type of guy? You think she's really into that guy? Especially if he's got a very entitled personality. Like, if it was chubby and he was sweet, kind, and nurturing towards the women, he might have a chance. But The dude was an absolute D-bag.
Which means he doesn't even have to try to be a better partner, a better boyfriend, or a better lover.
That's what we call a kiss.
That is facts.
Of course, the reality is that life experience is a plus and not a minus in relationships.
That is true.
And we need more media to reflect that. We need media where men enthusiastically embrace women who are their equals. Equals in everything, including in matters of love and sex.
Facts.
So to all you would-be science fiction writers out there, I'll leave you with this. Innocence is not sexy.
That is true.
Knowledge and experience, on the other hand, now that's extremely sexy.
I think this is the end of the clip here, but I really just want to summarize as much as I can here, because I know there was a lot to unpack and I was jumping around here and there, but the thing of it is that this trope is the reason why a lot of guys within the Andrew Tate space think like that. This trope has been around for ages, hence why you see also the obsession with being obsessed with the 50s, the 60s, the traditional family unit, and nothing wrong with that, but then you kind of start to see that there's like this obsession, like how much they miss it. Now, me personally, I don't miss the 50s or 60s because, first of all, I wasn't born that era. And second of all, I'm Hispanic. I'm Latino. There's no way I'm going to survive pretty well around that time. I'm going to tell you that for sure. But this kind of gives you more insight to why these type of guys in that space think like this. It's because this has been portrayed so many times in the media, and it's been like that for ages. And I would say, again, as early as the 1920s. So I know that I wanted to add more to that. Also, the fact that they expect to be the only man they know or the best man they are automatically, instead of working to be that type of guy, especially when their tropes or their cliche quotes, focus on yourself, King, or get this bread, King. It's like, what else there is to say? And sometimes what I think about this too is this. Why would you want someone innocent? Especially if they have no idea what they're doing. I don't know about you, but I think it's going to be more of a headache if the gal is innocent. Because then you have to explain to her what certain things are. And especially if you guys are getting a little, intimate in the bedroom, you're going to have to explain what oral is. You're going to have to explain some positions. And some safe words too. Like, you're gonna have to explain some terminology, so then it becomes like literally you're trying to educate a child. So I can see innocence definitely not sexy. An experience 100% is sexy, because then you find that freak that knows how to give you that Glock 3000, that knows how to snatch your soul, makes your toes curl to the back of your head. Man, that's definitely what I'm looking for. Or she just knows how to make it clap, like, I don't know. That's just me again. I'm young. I have no intentions to really get married, so it's like I really could care less about stuff like that. But, I don't know if this was too much of a man-bashing episode, because I know I get to make fun of women, OnlyFans models, all that mess here on the Bromar Show, but I think it should be fair to also make fun of these men too. Made fun of the Wall Street bros. But, oh, and then also the guys from the Bachelorette also made fun of them too. But let's also make fun of the followers within this space, because some of their standards, it's like, bro, really? I get it if it's a preference, but if it's an obsession, like, yeah. But I think the big thing is not only are they obsessed with that trope, but they're also obsessed with the traditional family unit, which I personally think that's more work as a man. Being a traditional man is a lot more work than being a man today. Because a traditional man, he's expected to what? Be the provider, be the man of the household, be the breadwinner, to do all this type of stuff for what? The family, the wife and the kids. But today, because women can make their own money, they can provide for themselves, heck, they can even have kids for themselves, whether it be with a deadbeat or it could be just by IBF or self-insemination. They can do all that now. They don't necessarily need a man now today. And now, guys, it's like that burden, that weight is taken off their shoulders of being the family man. It's like you no longer have to be that. You no longer have to try to get a good job and make really good money for your family. Now you can do this for yourself. And for all I know, making $40,000 a year is sufficient for a guy. Heck, even some guys are still living in their parents' house or in their mom's basement or with their grandparents. And now they do the stuff they like to do. Now they can play video games as much as they can. They could basically, they call them the man child. But in reality, I think men now can do whatever they want. And that same expression, when women can also do whatever the hell they want. So, yeah, I get it, you know, family unit, whatever, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, like, now we've become to realize that while family is awesome, it's great, I think now as individuals, we can actually do what we want to do. So that pretty much is going to do it for this one. I actually want to tie in two more clips of this. Let me see if I can find it. One is about virginity, because it's a good thing that this clip mentioned it. So it's going to be part of the Bromar Show files. And then there was another one. I think it was the 8021. I'm not sure if I still have it. I think it ended up deleting it because, you know, I did trigger a lot of people with that one. But I will release the virginity one here coming up in a couple moments. Here's an old school clip I found in a database, and this ties in well to the topic I talked about, so here it is.
This also brings me up to the article that I found here on a subreddit from r/feminism, and it's about how virginity was used to oppress women. And I mean, I have my own theory about this. You know, the article here, you know, is very well put together. I kind of skimmed through it, and I found here a sentence here. I don't really remember exactly what it read, but it said something along the lines of, women are usually held to a stricter standard when it comes to keeping her V card compared to a man. Society usually praises him for losing his V card, in which I have a theory on why that's viewed that way, why it's set up that way, why women, we hold them to a stricter standard when it comes to keeping her V card, and compared to a guy, we praise him, we even pressure him into losing his V card as guys, you know, but it's not always the case. You get the idea. But a thing about it is that women have an easier time attracting partners. Again, I'm not trying to say that they have an easier time when it comes to dating. I mean, they should, but generally speaking, they attract partners more frequently. Like, they have a much easier time attracting them, you know, just attracting them. Not like, oh yeah, here, I have a partner I can settle down with. Oh, next. I mean, some may do that, but you know. And for a guy, it's a little bit tougher. You see, a guy has to meet a set of standards. They have to say the right things, at least just to get her attention. Just to get her attention. And some of these standards are usually superficial or are out of their control. Like, for example, height. Honestly, I don't trip about it when a girl likes tall guys, because then it's like, girl, you're like 5'2". I'm like taller than you. So like, and besides, hey, the shorter the better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I like short girls. I mean, don't get me wrong. I also date tall girls too. But short girls are usually my go-to, you know, like little midget strippers. Jesus Christ. I heard one is coming here in July. I even made a rant episode about strippers, but I had to take it down because I don't know if it gets demonetized on Anchor, but I have to check through and I'll re-release it and I'll produce a better quality of it because I think I had guests over that day. So again, women have an easier time attracting partners compared to men. And so they're like, listen, I think it's a little broken here. You see, girls have the power to choose who they want to sleep with. Guys have the power to choose who they want to marry or who they want to have kids with. And I can see there can be a huge imbalance here where if we come to a point where we need to reproduce badly, it would be tough if we don't place some kind of balance thing here. Therefore, they place the, at least this is my theory, they invented the concept of virginity to balance things out between the genders because, as I said, women have the power to sleep with whoever they want and men have the power to marry whoever they want. And so that causes a huge imbalance. And then guys are like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to sleep around with other girls, yada, yada, yada. And then girls, it's like, I can't believe this. All guys are the same. Where did all the good guys go? Yada, yada, yada. And you get the idea. So, I mean, I don't necessarily believe it was used to oppress women. I think it was used to kind of like oppress both genders. I believe it was invented to oppress both genders because knowing both genders, they can get a little bit out of hand if they do things irresponsibly. So that's my personal take on it. Again, it's just funny how, you know, the article of declining fertility rate appeared as I talked about the 80-20 rule. And, you know, with the concept of virginity, I think it was invented not just for moral reasons, but maybe there was a logical reason, maybe to like keep things intact, you know, maybe it was like a Trump card standard. In case someone was inexperienced and whatnot, this was like the Trump card that people, you know, went off by when deciding to pick a partner. Also, I like to add how, you know, there's guys that complain about how women don't bring anything to the table and all this mess, and all their picks are based on superficial looks and yada, 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 in which they're not wrong. they're not wrong, but Not everyone's like that. And so perhaps virginity was used to like a way to pick in case they were in an area where, you know, they're just really bad partners. It's like they don't bring anything to the table. Most of these girls have never been in a serious relationship. How can I trust them? And so with someone who has never lost their virginity, it's like, okay, this is potential right here. Maybe we can work something out. And so that's why the concept of virginity kind of like was used to, you know, trump things out. Or when girls were like, listen, I've had a history of bad men and, you know, I want to change that. What type of men should I be attracting, or what type of men should I be seeking? And then it's like, oh, he's a virgin. He hasn't lost his V card yet. There's a chance that I can trust this guy because he probably does not know how to play with girls' hearts. And not only that, there's a likely chance he won't be a piece of shit. So then, you know, they can go with him. Again, this is just my theory, just how I'm thinking. It's not certified and approved by science. I mean, I can go look, but this is just me making some observations. So anyway, this is all I have to talk about in regards to this episode. All
right, so that pretty much is going to do it for me. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you go ahead and follow the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. And also go ahead and follow The Bromar Show on Instagram, which is at The Bromar Show. And that's going to do it for me. Until next time.